What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Isaac Rop.
You've been busted. You lost your qualifications as section leader 3 times.
Jason Sukanik.
You're lucky to be here. Your family name ain't the best in the Navy. I'd like to bust your butt, but I can't. I got another problem here.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk. This sounds very serious. They are not.
I gotta give you your dream shot. I'm gonna send you up against the best. You two characters are going to...
Primetime on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
You guys are number one.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Nice little Monday. It's going to be a nice weather week for you guys. Although it's going to get hot out there.
Yeah, we get like one day in the 90s, right?
So be careful. Yeah, I don't know. I saw later in the week, maybe a couple days in the 90s. I don't know.
Yeah, I got,
could be hot.
Got a,
maybe even over 100.
Yeah, we got a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're in the 90s.
Damn, dude. You're going to have to break out your inflatable pool.
Hmm. Okay. I don't have an inflatable. It's one of those hard plastic Ooh. Mr. Turtle pools.
Oh, yeah. For the dogs.
Little kitty slide.
Little kids.
Yeah.
Can you play that again, Buck? Did you hear this?
Okay.
That was you.
That was after Rob challenged you to find a better college football game on the schedule.
Yeah. Okay. It's valid. You know what? Touche.
That's fantastic.
Touche.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So why do we talk about the Browns? I don't know.
Well, I do know because it's...
Because who cares?
Well, it's the same reason we talk about Bronny James. You have a...
Shadur.
Yeah, you have a celebrity there. And for some reason... I don't know why, like, Cleveland has, like, this, like, pathetic, like,
yeah,
mangy dog sort of thing where you just...
I agree. Like, they're just a hair more interesting.
Yeah. They're, of all the loser franchises, and believe me, they are a loser franchise, they're just slightly more interesting than the other losers.
Maybe it's just because they're kind of a train wreck.
A little bit.
And so we like that.
Yeah, and you know...
For we're rubbernecking.
Yeah, you got the Deshaun Watson thing that popped up, and then, you know, Sadura Sanders. It's just, they can't get out of their own way. They're always doing something dumb to where we look at them and we're like, what are you doing?
Well, today they announced that Joe Flacco will be their QB1.
Yeah, which, by the way, right. Anyone with half a brain, if you weren't buying into the stupid, you know, the hype that the some of the NFL media was trying to throw out there, Joe Flacco was going to be the starter from day one.
Bro.
Shadur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel each could have thrown 7 touchdown passes in their start, and it wouldn't have mattered. It was against nobody, and Joe Flacco was going to be the starter. The only reason that Joe Flacco didn't play is because he's 1,000 years old, and they don't want to get him hurt. That doesn't mean that Flacco is going to hold on to that job. I would make an argument that you could maybe see 4 different guys start for Cleveland, because it's Cleveland. This is what they do. But unless Flacco flails, Flacco is going to be the guy there. But most people believe that Cleveland's not going to be very good. Flacco will either get hurt, get the gout, maybe have to, get the diabetes or something, or it'll just stink, and one of these other two guys will get a crack. I'm more interested in, when the depth chart comes out, who ends up being 2 and who ends up being 3, or how many quarterbacks they actually carry.
Well, Pickett will probably get traded, right?
I would assume, like...
Somebody will take him as the backup.
Well, Schefter came out today and said, which I find just to be ridiculous, again, Adam Schefter is being told things because agents want him to tell them things. But he came out and said that he was hearing that the Browns may carry 4 quarterbacks. No, they won't.
There's not a chance.
They're not carrying 4.
And how much did they pay Pickett?
I don't think they paid Pickett a bunch, and I don't know how much of it is guaranteed. So Pickett's going to be the odd man out, one would think.
Because the other two are rookies. So
yeah, the two are rookies. They don't cost anything.
They don't cost much money.
Yes.
So, and he's hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like, who cares about Kenny Pickett? Okay, so Gabriel played this past weekend. Now, as you know, I am averse to preseason football,
yes,
so I don't watch.
Yeah, let's do that.
But he went 13 of 18, 143, mm-hmm. and 2 turnovers. He threw a pick 6,
yeah,
and he lost a fumble.
And the pick six really wasn't his fault, and Stefanski said as much.
Now, did you get to see Dylan Gabriel play?
I saw the highlights of Dylan Gabriel playing.
How was he compared to Shadur? Do we
know? I thought Shadur probably looked a little more steady. But Gabriel, you look at his interception, and again, it wasn't necessarily on him. And Sanders threw two passes that probably should have been intercepted that weren't. So I thought, how about this? Both, to me, looked the part of capable backup borderline starting quarterbacks. I think Gabriel was probably playing against slightly better competition. I think Sanders looked a little more mobile. To say that one had any advantage over the other, and I watched way more of Sanders than I did of Gabriel, I only saw a mashup of probably 20 plays that someone put out there of Dylan Gabriel, and I thought both equated themselves well. But I also don't think, from listening to Kevin Stefanski, it sounds like the games are not like there's more that is going to go into this than what we saw in the 20 plus snaps that these guys ended up taking. And maybe we see something more in that third game and how those reps are divided. And we don't really know because Sanders got hurt and then Gabriel was hurt. So I think if both of them get healthy, you know, we get a little better idea of where they're leaning. But also, it could be that neither one of these guys is going to be able to clear waivers or go on a practice squad. So eventually, here in another week, they're going to have to tip their hand on how much they like these two young guys.
Well, this is the thing about preseason. Like, the Bears beat the Bills 34-0 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And of course, now everyone's panicking in Buffalo.
Yeah, Sean McDermott had to come out and say that it was not up to our standards.
Well, yeah. And that's kind of concerning. I mean, like, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm like, that's kind of concerning. It's, you know, we don't need to be sending messages in the preseason, but apparently Sean McDermott thought it worthy.
Sure.
So it's like, oh boy. Cowboys fans are panicking because they look terrible. And, yeah, and their coach, Schottenheimer, has come out and he's like, dude, it's preseason. We're putting guys in different positions.
Yeah.
So to your point about the Browns, it's like, we're only just giving the rookies a set pack, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
My question is, how can you take anything from preseason and make anything of it?
You really can't. Like, the only thing you can do with preseason is you can play your way out. How about that in the preseason?
So you can look at individual performance.
Yeah. And say you don't have it.
That matters.
That matters.
Other than that,
no. There's so much that goes into it. In fact, there's it's been going around. Dylan Gabriel threw a bad pick six in practice that was being reported, right? Because do you know now we're keeping stats in practices?
Yeah.
And, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They report on them.
And so there was supposedly a bad interception in the end zone for Dylan Gabriel. Oh, and Stefanski came out and specifically said no. He said Dylan Gabriel read the correct defense, audibled to a different route, and it was the correct route, and the receiver ran the wrong one. And Gabriel threw the ball where he thought the receiver was going to be, and he's like, had the receiver run that, it was a touchdown. Dylan Gabriel throws it, the receiver runs the wrong route, it gets picked, and we're like, oh my God, Dylan Gabriel doesn't know what he's doing. And they're like, well, no.
And if you didn't see the highlight from the weekend, Dylan Gabriel's pick six, you're going to see it in the box score as a pick six. It sounds bad, but you had two receivers essentially running routes on top of each other, and then one of them short-armed it at the end and like pulled back. So, I mean, it looked like terrible execution from the pass catchers, not from him.
So, I mean, to sit here, it's what I always say, you got to be careful. Coaches view these games as confirmation on what they already believe. Like, when you go and you watch a kid or watch a player that's practicing day after day after day after day, you already have in your mind built up what he can do. And now we go out on the field when supposedly the live bullets are flying and you want a confirmation to what you're seeing. And sometimes it makes you take a step back and be like, wow, man, maybe there's something to this, right? Maybe this kid is a gamer and he's struggling a little bit in practice, but we'll give him a longer look. But very rarely does something happen in a game and you're like blown away. You're like, boy, I didn't see this coming. Because if someone looks like ass for 3 weeks of practice and they have 12 good snaps against backups, that doesn't eliminate what you did the previous 3 weeks. You may go back and take another look, but what it does do is that if you look like ass for 3 weeks and then you go out and you look that way in the 12 snaps, you're done. Or if you look really good in that practice and you come out and you're like, man, that's exactly what we want to see. That sharp, good, that we can count on that kid. We can count on that young man. And also remember that when you go into these games, on any given, we always, because Hard Knocks, we want to believe that like every roster spot is up for grabs. Do you realize that in any given camp, there may be 6 to 7 spots that are actually being competed for? That's it. Everything else has already been determined. Now, like in Cleveland, the 2 and 3 quarterback, that's up for grabs, right? But one was not. That was Joe Flacco's job. You probably have usually a offensive lineman that's up for grabs. And by the way, the one that doesn't win the job still ends up being the swing lineman anyways. You probably have 1 or 2 O linemen that are fighting for a spot. The 5th receiver, the sixth DB, 2 backup linebackers, and an edge rusher.
Yeah, your crappy team can't afford 4 roster spots taken by these.
Okay. That's what's really up for grabs. We just want to make it more than that because we love the...
Yeah, we love the drama.
We love the drama.
Well, I think sometimes preseason really hurts because we're just starved for football.
Yeah.
And then when we get it, yeah, it doesn't count and it doesn't really matter. But we overreact to it because it's all we have and we've been waiting for months.
So we've heard, and by the way, I do believe this because like we even heard it from the coaching staff. Caleb Williams was not having a good camp, plain and simple. Ben Johnson said it. Every reporter said it. He did not look good, period. And there was this, are they hiding him? He hadn't played in the first 2 preseason games because remember they played the Hall of Fame game. And they were like, dude, this is Concernicus time here. And Caleb Williams came out and played great. He looked amazing. And so now everyone's like, oh. And the truth of the matter is, it probably hasn't looked that great in camp. Right?
But he had a good game.
He had a good game. And so where...
It can happen.
It can happen.
And does.
And so now we've gone from... I think he threw 14 balls. I have to go back and look at it. So in the span of 14 snaps, we went from the sky is falling and Caleb Williams is terrible and what the hell is going on in Chicago to don't worry about this. Caleb Williams, but yeah, 6 of 10, by the way, 10 passes. And we're like, don't worry. Caleb Williams back to being the star.
So now do you see why I ignore preseason?
Yes.
And it's hard to do that because I love football.
Yeah.
But dude, wake me up week one.
I try to watch, I kind of like overall vibe checks, right? You can kind of, like right now in Seattle, great vibes. Like if you took 2 teams, you took the 49ers and you take the Seahawks, and you want to kind of get a general feel for the, like where things are going, Seattle sky high vibes cruising.
Hey.
Everything's looking good. Everyone's positive. Camp's going great. San Francisco.
They play week one.
It's not great. It's not great right now. So
San Francisco's in some trouble.
Why?
They've already got massive injury issues
already?
On a team that already can't afford it.
Yeah. Why can they never stay healthy?
Great question.
I'm convinced that Kyle Shanahan sold his soul for a Super Bowl and the devil crawfished him and screwed him over.
God.
And it's like, we won't be giving you a Super Bowl, and now every one of your players is cursed.
They got to be the most banged up team in football, right?
4 of their top 5 receivers are out right now. They just lost in practice over the weekend their best offensive lineman, temporarily, but still. They've got issues on the defensive front as well with injuries. It's bad.
Yeah. So I just think preseason, I like vibes. And maybe a position battle or two, but... You got to be careful reading too much into it. Even the first, we say, give 4 weeks of an NFL season and you can get an idea. I would also like to point out, like, this is how weird the NFL can be. If you remember the first 4 weeks of the season last year, you know who had like one of the best offenses like in the NFL? It was
Saints.
The Saints.
The Aints.
And we were like, how? How is this happening? Their O-line is terrible. It's Derek Carr. Like, what is happening? And they were running kind of a weird scheme, and only they were running these max protect in this play-action game. And by the way, that was Kubiak, who was now in the Seattle coordinator. And what are we saying about Seattle? Wow, in this run game and like the passing, it's being paired together. I'm just saying, for 3 or 4 weeks, the Saints' offense was like unstoppable, and then defensive coordinators were like, yeah, we figured that out. And turns out your roster kind of sucks, and now you're going to be terrible. So it's just... The NFL is played in these 4 little mini seasons that they have and never, ever react to anything that isn't a 4-week stretch.
Okay. I think we're done here.
Hey, Seattle.
Coming up next, we've got Stockwatch.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready for Stockwatch?
I love it.
Were you prepared for Stockwatch?
Dude, I'm prepared. Huh? Let's go. I'm vibing right now. I'm vibing the Hawks.
Yeah, this is what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports, prepared by our very own Ryan Buckley, and it's next on 105.1 The Fan.
It's Primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Sue buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, Stockwatch. Let's turn it over to Brian. He needs a nickname, doesn't he? Or like a...
Well, he's Buck.
You mean like a bug?
Yeah, he's... But you can't... Can you say Ryan Buck Buckley?
No, that's lame.
He's just Buck. My name's okay. Buck. You'll let it go from there.
Jason Suk Sukanik.
Yeah, right? It's just... You said he needs a nickname. He has a nickname.
Yeah, he does.
I've never called him any... Like, when I call him Ryan, sometimes I do it. It sounds so... Like, I'm like, what's up, Ryan?
It happened just the other day, and it took us both aback.
Yeah. I don't even know why I did it, but I was like, I don't know, Ryan?
Okay.
Like, if I came in and Rob was like, what's up, Jason?
Hi, Jason.
Like, what? That's weird.
Like, what's going on with you?
Expired.
All right, here's Buck.
All right, well, let's continue our conversation about the Cleveland Browns quarterback room because everybody can't get enough. Not only was the play causing some stir on the field over the weekend, so was Dylan Gabriel's quote to in his halftime interview. I don't know if you caught this.
Yeah. It's just part of it. You know, there's entertainers and there's competitors, and I totally understand that. And my job is to compete, and that's what I'm focused on doing. Of course, we're doing this mid-game, but, you know, it's something that I'll get used to and just want to be the best team that I can and create an environment where we can all go do our best work. That's all we want to do.
He wasn't talking about Shedeur Sanders.
That's where we're going with this, because with this being an in-game interview, there wasn't really a chance for other reporters to follow up. And by the time the game was over, it was believed that Dylan Gabriel was taking shots at his teammate Shedeur Sanders, talking about him being the entertainer and Dylan being the competitor. Now, Dylan had to come out and explain that that was not the case. He was talking about the people in the media versus the football players. Buy or sell that explanation?
Yes. If you listen to the whole thing, they were talking about people trying to, like, media members trying to get clicks and try to write, like, stories and like, hype. And he goes, no. The entertainment thing is he was calling out the Skip Baylesses and the Colin Cowherds of the world for trying to make something that's not there. And he's like, I'm not about entertainment. I'm just here to try to compete. It had nothing to do with Shedeur Sanders. Absolutely nothing. And
good.
Yet,
I'm glad we can shut that down.
Yeah. And yet it turned into a... He basically, by doing this, all the dumbass media members proved his point that there are people here for entertainment and there's people here to compete. And by the way, neither one of those things is necessarily bad. If your job in the media is to get attention, you're going to do dumbass crap like make this up. And if you're Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, all you can do is go out and play. But you proved his point by trying to make this a story when it had nothing to do with Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I'm going to trust you on this. I have not heard the whole clip.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I assume that's right.
Yes, it is.
Maybe it's not. Maybe you're fake news.
No, it is. And I hate to give him credit because sometimes I just think he goes off the deep end. But Colin today had a good point that all of these people...
Wait, he's not even on the fan anymore.
I know.
How do you even hear Colin?
I heard him.
And
this and he just sometimes just is such an eye roll to me. But... I thought he had a very good point that all these people from the Ocho Cincos and the Shannon Sharps and the Ryan Clarks that are trying to make Shedeur Sanders a thing for whatever reason. They're just obsessed with trying to make Shedeur Sanders a thing. And instead of just, if the kid's good enough, he will be a thing. That's the way the NFL works. If you're good, you end up playing, you'll get a job, you'll prove it. But they're trying to make a thing. They're actually hurt his case. And this was Colin's point. When you are a backup, and make no mistake about it, Shedeur Sanders right now is a backup. Okay, he may end up being a starter, but right now he is fighting to be a backup. He might actually be a third string guy. He is fighting for that job. And there is nothing that the NFL, and they have proven this time and time again. And don't make it about race, because they did it with Tim Tebow. They did it with Cam Newton. They will do it with Colin Kaepernick. You cannot be a distraction and be a backup quarterback. They have no time for it. This is like, that. If you are going to date a crazy gal, she better be the hottest girl. This is the crazy hot matrix. Yeah. The crazier you are, you better be an absolute dime. So if you're Joe Burrow or you're Lamar Jackson, you can be as crazy as you want to be. If you're Terrell Owens, you can do sit-ups in your driveway.
Cat suits and Sharpies in the sock, whatever you feel like.
Whatever the hell you want. But when you are fighting for a job, you cannot be a distraction. No coach and team wants to deal with a superstar backup. So every one of these media guys that's trying to force Shedeur Sanders on people, you are making you're hurting his case. You're hurting him by making coaches go, yeah, he's all right, and we like him, but God, I don't want to deal with this crap for someone that I don't think can really be our starter. You're hurting him by doing this.
Where were we?
We're moving on to a real sport, Isaac. Oh. Golf.
Did I even buy or sell that?
Yeah, you said what that. When Sue talked first, you said great. That sounds right.
Let's
step into your world, golf. Isaac. Golf.
Yeah. And it's insane.
A name that you're well familiar with, but others may not be, Ben Griffin. Now, this last weekend was all about Scottie Scheffler and the fact that he won his fifth tournament of the year, and he's awesome, and everyone else is not as awesome as him. But there was Ben Griffin, who opened his round with a four putt from 4 feet.
Dude.
Yeah. And then proceeded to double bogey the following hole. He ended up going under par for the day, but had one of the more bizarre explanations I've heard for a four putt.
Kind of an interesting story. So I take creatine as a supplement, and this morning I didn't take it until I basically teed off on one, and I was at the end of my batch, and I had this like basically a snowball of creatine, so it'd been in my bucket for probably like a month.
Fantastic.
And I like broke it up and put it in my water bottle, whatever. Like I'm all good. Like I've taken creatine on the golf course before; it's fine. But I started taking it after my second shot, and I accidentally swallowed like one of the big rocks, kind of, that was in my water bottle. And I've never overdosed on creatine before, but I think I did in the moment because I didn't really drink any water after that. I basically just inhaled like a snowball. And so I started getting like super shaky, and I've never felt like this before, and I literally felt like I had tremors. And I four-putted one, and then on two, I like was freaking out and didn't know what to do, and I like hit it so far out of bounds. And then like luckily my caddy stepped in and like made me chug a whole water and like honestly like try to calm down a little bit. And then I hit the other one in play, and then I was fine. I ended up making whatever a double on that hole, and I bogeyed the next hole. Honestly, it was probably more just like a little bit flustered, but I was fine honestly after the second shot on two. And then I felt good, and so I went about my day and got it back to under par. But yeah, pretty crazy story. I don't think I'll be taking too much creatine in the future. I will take it, but not in the amount that I probably did on the golf course, which wasn't probably a healthy amount.
I have to admit, that's not what I was expecting to hear.
Oh, my God. Okay. By the way, can I just say before you get to the stock, yeah. Ben Griffin is great because Ben Griffin absolutely knows that he's Ben Griffin. So he's the guy that wears the
wears the reflective sunglasses.
Yeah, he's got the dorky glasses. He's the guy that won a couple tournaments this year, and he missed a high five with his teammate. Yeah. Like, he knows that he's not cool.
Yeah.
To the point where there was a moment where he was playing in a tournament, and I don't remember which one, where I think he dropped his scorecard. Or maybe it was the other player dropped his scorecard, and Ben Griffin picked it up and asked if he wanted the player to sign it, if he wanted him to sign it.
So he gets it.
Okay. He's a pretty funny, which is why when I was laughing at the start of that, I thought, he's totally full of crap on this. This is no way he's just doing bits.
He's doing crazy
because he
snowballs.
Does do bits. But in the now that I've heard it, I think he's trying to tell the truth. I don't know. All right, let's get to the stock.
Yeah, buy or sell, that's the best excuse you've ever heard for a four putt to open the
round.
Yes,
that's great.
By the way,
a hangover, you know.
I don't know. Did you
see the last putt? Have you seen the four putt?
No, I have not seen the four
putt.
Look up his four putt.
It's
bad.
It's bad. And the last one goes all the way around the cup.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I did see the ridiculous Scottie Scheffler Tiger Woods chip in.
That was unreal.
Yeah. I mean, my God.
Yeah. Pretty good little shot.
I have taken creatine for years. Never heard of that one, but I mean, I guess causes dizziness.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I just watched that.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, that's
the greatest. Yes, oh. I mean, what What other excuse rivals that?
Creatine?
I don't know. I mean, the man was physically taken over by his supplement.
But, I mean, it's also a possibility. I'm just telling you now, with Ben Griffin's sense of humor, it's possible that he is totally full of crap.
I have never heard of anyone getting dizzy in the shakes from creatine, but I...
So, wait, you think it's more likely then? Buy or sell this is a real story?
I don't. I think he's doing bits.
Yeah, he might be doing a bit.
Okay.
He might be doing a bit there.
Like, what? Like... Again, creatine's like the most tolerated supplement known to man. Like everyone, I don't know. I never heard of it. Never heard of it. So I'm saying he's doing bits. I just watched that four putt. Oh my God, that is.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe bad. I would make up an excuse for that too.
Yeah, really. Next time,
right?
Next time I do that. Well, and by the way, I do that. I'm going. You know what, boys? You know what? Too much creatine. I
got one of those creatine rocks in a water bottle.
Yeah,
it might be a different kind of rock, but I'm blaming it on rocks.
I feel like when you four putt, he knows he's going to be asked about it, but there's really no explanation for it other than I brain fart or you know, whatever. So he just made all that up to make
Go with the creatine.
To make it more fun.
I've never OD'd on creatine.
And by the way, Ben Griffin is the guy who was a loan officer.
Yeah.
Before returning to the tour, like he was.
That's right. He had like a hiatus.
Yeah, he was just a regular guy.
Yeah,
with his
pretty good now. He's like top 10.
Yeah, he's had a great year. It's amazing.
Yeah, the only thing I've ever heard from creatine is, you know what it can cause at times. A lot of people are saying
what
give you a little bit of the a little bit of the trots.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Creatine?
Yeah, if you're not careful, you can, you know.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
Okay, are we done already?
We can be. I have more, but we're up against it for in the news.
I don't care. Let's get more. I love Stockwatch.
All right, let's
do a fast one.
We'll do a fast one. We'll see if we found the next Isaac Rop.
Graphs or pictures you want to get of any players in specific?
I want to get Juan Soto.
Okay, all right. Juan Soto's a popular one. Misha, what about you? Juan Soto on your list as well?
He's kind of overrated.
He's
all right.
He's all right.
Cal Raleigh.
Okay, all right. You take an autograph from anybody there, right?
Yeah. Pretty good.
So those are kids at the Little League World Series, and Juan Soto and Cal Raleigh were showing up to meet those kids that day. Thinking that Juan Soto, overrated, we found the next Rop who thinks every baseball player kind of sucks.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think that's right. And Juan Soto is kind of overrated.
The Juan Soto shuffle had the kids going crazy. They loved it. They were calling for it, and he gave it to them. And by the way, a 30-20 season for Juan Soto, so suck it.
Did you see that?
Go ahead.
Cal Raleigh was signing... toilet seats.
Yeah, that was the. I like that people are now bringing toilet seats for him.
And he's cool about it. He just grabs them, signs them.
Look, when you're the big dumper, he's got to deal with a porta potty.
He's like Ben Griffin. He gets it.
Yeah, just lean into it, man.
Lean into the bit.
I don't like all this Juan Soto hate.
Okay. All right. That is Stockwatch. Each Monday brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. We have a juicy jewel heist in Seattle, and the In-N-Out Burger is here. Next, here's Buck.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Add it to the list of uncomfortable drops.
God, we're on fire today.
Well, we took too much creatine this morning.
I'm going to get rid of all the women. I'm going to get rid of all the black guys.
Yep.
Yeah, we are. We have taken way too much creatine
today. Too much creatine. Just big old rocks.
Snowballs is Ben Griffin called
them. Yeah, boy.
He's kind of swallowed a snowball.
Yeah. It's not what I know as a snowball, but...
Focus. It is August 18, 2025. It's time now for In the News. I am your noted and humble newsman. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Honk your horn if you are listening.
Again, doing great.
It's brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Fajita Day.
Oh, who doesn't love a fine fajita?
Love fajitas. Yeah, maybe my favorite Mexican dish.
Really?
I think possibly so. You get the smell coming off the skillet. Like if you get it in restaurant,
when
you
they
can
come
do,
out on the sizzling plate, it's hard.
It's hard to
be.
To be. Yeah.
card to be. I think something with a good carnitas in it, though, man. You get a...
Is the definition of a... Can you guys define a fajita? I mean, I know what it is,
well,
but
it's just you got your meat and you got your veggies, and then it comes all stir fried together, and then you kind of assemble it. And...
So is that?
I think that it's grilled or griddled on cast iron as opposed to like
there
you know, carnitas might be braised or something like, or like an asado might be grilled, but this is on the skillet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you just get that smell.
Yeah, the burning pepper skin smell.
And then the smoke in your eyes.
Known for their sizzling presentation.
And the waiter always says, careful, don't touch.
An interactive dining experience.
It is also National Bad Poetry Day.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Basically us every day.
Yeah, there's not many worse things than when you get someone that like has a poem they want to read you and it's not going so well.
When is the last time someone offered to read you a poem?
No, I've just been at places where people are reading poetry and you're like, can we not do this?
Like, where? What are you talking about?
You've never been around someone that's reading poetry?
I mean, I don't know what people are reading generally. I don't usually pry, but...
No, like their poetry. I've ran into a person or two.
You mean like on a microphone?
Yeah, I've been at a place where they're reading poetry.
Like an open mic?
I've dated a gal or two that wanted to read me their poetry, and then you have to pretend that...
How was it?
What?
How was the poetry?
Yeah. Was it about you?
No. This was early on in dating process. And I'll tell you what, if a girl starts reading your poetry, you're like, wow, that's amazing. So insightful. And inside you're like, what the hell was that? But you can't say that. That's a must-lie situation.
Yeah. What the hell is going on?
It's like you said earlier in the program. It's one of those things. It's just we're trying to be respectful. Just shut up. You don't need your opinion on my poetry, okay?
Remember we had the poet laureate that spoke at, I think it was Biden's inauguration? Like, that was good poetry. I remember when...
Yeah, I remember that kid.
Yeah.
All right.
But a lot of times, man, poetry is one of those things that a lot of people think they can do, and very few can.
Well, probably do it well.
Yes.
I would imagine there's a lot of people do it.
Sure.
But again, it's all in the eye of the... It's like art. It's like, I don't know, that's my poem. Suck it if you don't like it. Okay? It's my expression.
Yeah. And my experience
need your opinion.
The expression is it usually stinks.
In-N-Out will open its doors to customers in Southwest Washington this Wednesday, guys.
Yes.
In-N-Out is here.
Out in Ridgefield, right?
Yeah. Out in Ridgefield.
By the way, that...
A little late, but...
That exit is becoming badass crazy, and it's about to get that much worse.
Yeah, well, I guess there was a whole thing where the people of Ridgefield have actually been fighting this.
Yeah, they don't want it.
Because they don't want...
No.
The backup,
yep.
And because it's people happen. Line up for the crappy burger. So it opens Wednesday, whether you like it or not, because Commerce, Jace.
First one in the state of Washington, and there's one coming, I don't know when it's going to open, but they're building it. It's on Mill Plain as well, so Vancouver's about to get one too. So it'll be one in Ridgefield, one in Vancouver, and same sort of thing, the people on Mill Plain, it's going to be right by like a Raising Cane's, and it's just going to be dreadful. It will be an absolute nightmare.
So this In-N-Out has overflow lots to the north, and they will queue at least a few hundred cars in there.
Yeah. I still don't get it. I don't get why people wait in line for Chick-fil-A. I don't get why people wait in line for In-N-Out, but it's a coming.
Now you're coming around to my chicken takes. That's one of my main points.
I like chicken. I just won't wait for chicken.
Well, me too. That's what I'm saying. I like chicken. It's fine.
But
why are people lining up for chicken?
But if Chick-fil-A were empty, you still wouldn't go because you think chicken is mid.
Well, it wouldn't be my first choice, but I like a good chicken sandwich, you know. Okay. And I like a good burger, but In-N-Out is not a great burger. It's just in a pinch, it'll do. But I'm not waiting in line for that either.
There was a... What is the... There's a little... Cheese and Crack, I think, is the ice cream. I think that is what it's called.
Or, crack and Cheese? Or yeah, I've been there.
Is it Cheese and Crack? Crack and Cheese?
Something like that. I've been there.
Yeah. So they make... It's
Cheese and Crack.
Cheese and Crack.
Snack shop.
Yeah. And they make ice creams, and they have like a nanner pudding that I just want.
What?
A nanner pudding. And it's just so good.
I thought you were speaking another language. Yeah, is that Indian?
No, I was just putting, that's the, you're going to have some nanner pudding. Yeah, I am.
Nanner pudding.
Yeah. So we were all fired up. We were eating at this Korean place down the road from, this was on like Friday. And I was like, damn right we're going over to get some pudding. And we walked over there, and dude, like 50 people in line. And I took one look at that and was like, I don't want it that bad. And it amazes me on a Friday night that there's just a line. I mean, just down the block for ice cream and for pudding. I would just never, and people just happy as can be just standing there. And the line was, I was like, it was one of those like, hey, let's see if the line moves like faster than you think. No. I stood there for about 2 minutes and it didn't move an inch. And I'm like, well, screw this.
Well, isn't some of that for the kids?
No, there were no kids.
No kids?
No. No, it's an adult.
So is it about the experience?
I don't. With the experience of waiting in line?
Yes, I guess.
I don't know.
Look.
Because you know what's right by that In-N-Out?
Salt and Straw.
Well, no. The In-N-Out that's going there? Like there's a ton of stuff right there. Like the
Pizza
one,
Hut.
Yeah, there's all kinds of Pizza Hut. There's a Five Guys. There's all kinds of stuff right there. But you'll wait in line for an hour for In-N-Out. But you could go to Five Guys and get it in like 2 minutes.
Oh,
even if the In-N-Out is better, in your opinion, is it an hour better?
The answer to that is no.
Yeah.
I have jewel heist news. Ooh, from Seattle.
I like a good jewel heist.
A big one. Coming up next on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right, this is in the news for August 18, 2025. I told you I had tales of a jewel heist in Seattle, and I do. I was not lying.
True story.
You don't hear a lot about the jewel heist anymore.
No, you don't.
The movies would tell you otherwise.
This says a group of thieves stole millions of dollars of merch from a family-owned jewelry store in a bold daylight robbery in Seattle that took only 90 seconds.
Is there ever, because this is always the headline, it's a bold heist.
Yeah.
Is there ever like an unbold heist?
Well, I think
like
they...
Like a very timid or hesitant
heist? Yeah, it
was
a very timid and lackluster heist. I mean...
Well, it was a reluctant heist, but they went through it.
Like a little half-ass effort.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you rob a bank or you rob a jewelry store of millions of dollars, I'm saying that's bold regardless.
Yeah, I think they're calling this one bold because it was in broad daylight.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
Yeah, I guess it's bolder if you do it in daylight or with weapons or things like that.
But the ninnies who do it at night, I mean, anybody can do that.
Cowards.
Candy asses.
The Seattle Police Department said it responded to a report of a robbery at Menashe and Sons Jeweler in West Seattle around noon on August 14th. Four masked suspects allegedly used hammers to smash a locked front glass door, then destroyed six display cases. The incident was caught on surveillance cameras inside the store. Police said the suspects were armed with a taser and bear spray. Mm. The weapons were pointed at store employees. While the robbery occurred, no injuries were reported.
Again, is it bold if you're just using a hammer and bear spray? I would think bold, again, would be like guns a-blazing. You know, like bear spray
and a
hammer.
Well, do you think if you get caught and you only have... let's say these guys get caught.
Yeah.
Or gals.
Yeah, it could be anyone.
Whomever.
Yeah.
Is it a lesser crime
I think so.
If they didn't use guns?
I think so.
And they used bear spray?
I think so. I mean, armed robbery, I do think if you've got a weapon of some sort, and I would assume that a gun worse than bear spray, there's no intent to kill at that point. You're just trying to spray someone in the eyes and then make off with the jewels. So maybe that's why they do it, is if you do get caught, you're going to jail, but you're not going to jail for the rest of your life.
They said that after the rapid-fire robbery, the suspects fled in a getaway car. A search of the area yielded no results, and they are now asking the community if they know anything to report to the violent crimes tip line.
Yeah. Feel bad for the family business? That's no good.
Yeah, the store owner said they're pretty shook up.
Well,
he said that one glass case held between $700,000 and $800,000 in Rolex luxury watches.
Yikes.
While another held a necklace valued at $125,000.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Time to upgrade the old security system there, or like, you know.
Well, they just smashed right through the door. The door's locked.
Yeah, but this is what I've always said. It's a glass door.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you lock
But you do want people to come into your store.
I understand. I'm just saying. I always find it a bit weird when we're like, we got a couple $1 million worth of merchandise, and we're like, I know what'll keep people out. Glass. Not sure if you're familiar with how glass works, but it doesn't take a whole lot to go through the glass. As if I'm going in for my bold robbery and I try the door, I'm like, ah, hell, door is locked, can't do anything about this. So maybe, like, I don't know, some metal curtains.
Every now and then I'll get back from walking the dog at night and I won't lock the front door and my wife will remind me and I'm like, yeah, I get why, but at the same time, there is a window right next to the door. Someone could just put their fist through it and open it from the inside.
That tends to be my feeling. We have an automatic locking door now, so it's because my gal got tired of me not locking the door. Now it does it on its own, but I do say, yes, it may keep someone from opening the door that wants to run in and grab something real quick, but if someone would like to come into my house, there is a giant window right next to it.
The locked door isn't stopping them.
Yeah.
Do you think that jewelry stores suffer from the fact that they, because they have such high-end merch, that they have to look fancy, like glass? Like, you can't have steel curtains, you know? Like, it has to look really nice and inviting for all the richies to come in.
Yeah, it's just that when the store closes, you need that big door that comes down. Like,
well, they
big,
probably have
that big Star Wars door. It's a
well, I'm guessing that's why they were robbed during the day, is probably have that at night, but during the day, that's up, and the staff is in there, and they're like, well, the staff is no match for us. We have bear spray.
You know,
let's just go during the day.
Yeah, you need to get that security guard that Nordstrom has. You need to go get Jack Reacher to stand in front of your store.
That's right.
No one's breaking in with that guy.
So they got away with $2 million in jewelry.
Dude,
and
that's crazy.
Yeah, they can't find
him. Hopefully they catch him, because that stuff, I would assume, is somewhat easy to track. Like, some dip-ass, like, rolling into the local store with, like, a $200,000 necklace. I would hope that you can track those people down, but I'm not familiar with the, you know, the jewelry, like, smuggler's game.
And I'm sure the store has insurance, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes, I mean, that jacks your... My buddy that owns a liquor store, he got broken into a couple times, and it wasn't worth him to file the insurance claim because it wasn't that much damage, and then the insurance rates go sky high. So some of those times you just have to, like, eat it, and that stinks.
That is in the news August 18, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Well, a college football story of note came out over the weekend, and we will discuss it next on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.